So we'll read Daniel and chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Chapter 5 of Daniel and verse 1. Chapter 5, Daniel, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink in them. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. And the thoughts of his loins were loosened and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the magicians, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his nobles were confounded. Verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. The king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? And I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the magicians, have been brought in before me, that they should make known, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. But I have heard of thee that thou canst give interpretations and solve problems. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet will I read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father the kingdom and greatness and glory and majesty. And for the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he exalted, and whom he would he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit hardened unto presumption, he was deposed from the throne of his kingdom, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was bathed with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth over the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, Belshazzar, his son, hast not humbled thy heart, although thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of the heavens, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy nobles, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then from before him was sent the part of the hand, and this writing hath been written. And this is the writing that is written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And the footnote said, numbered, numbered, weighed and divided. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar commanded, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. One more verse or passage from the Bible. The very last book of the Bible, Revelation. Chapter 1 of Revelation. Chapter 1 of the Revelation. And read from verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and patience in Jesus, was in the island called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus, I became in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, What thou seest, write in a book, and send to the seven assemblies, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, and to Pergamos and to Thyatira, and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And I turned back to see the voice which spoke with me, and having turned I saw seven golden lamps, and in the midst of the seven lamps one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching to the feet, and girt about at the breasts with a golden girdle, his head and hair white like white wool as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass as burning in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters, and having in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword going forth, and his countenance as the sun shines in its power. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages, and have the keys of death and of Hades. Write therefore what thou hast seen, and the things that are, and the things that are about to be after these, and so on. I just had a very somewhat simple impression. The link between these two scriptures is the fact that both of these men, Belshazzar and John, had visions that were given to them by God. That's the link. But there's a difference between these two men, which we'll go into as we explain through the gospel message. I'm going to look at Belshazzar first, but just to give you some context, I understand that this great king, one of the greatest kingdoms this world has ever seen, with ultimate authority, the situation was that his capital city was surrounded by the Medes and Persians. His city was being besieged. And in the midst of this siege, this king calls a feast with his nobles, the greatest of his nobles. And he does all these things with this feast. But most importantly, he takes the golden vessels that were from the temple of God in Jerusalem, as it says here, and he drank out of them. He, in this moment when his kingdom was being assaulted, he elevated himself above all these things, had total faith in his own kingdom and power on earth, and decided to crown that arrogance in his own soul by taking the vessels from the house of God, the Almighty God, and drinking out of them for his own pleasure and not for the service of God. He then praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, of stone. And Daniel goes on to explain why that's wrong. Now I ask you, as you look around in this world today, what do you see people doing in this world? Are they not exactly like this king here, who in his arrogance was celebrating his own power and feasting in a moment of tragedy that was about to come upon him and his kingdom? Do we not see people doing this today? We have outstanding against us the judgment of God against this world, proclaimed 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary, just outside Jerusalem, when God declared upon this world judgment. God declared that there was one man righteous, but one man, and that man suffered for my sins, and in doing so, condemned this world in judgment. This man did not realize that judgment was about to come upon him. The message of the gospel is that judgment is about to come upon this world. You in it, friend, and myself in this world. Judgment is about to come upon this world. I do not know the hour or the time, but it is about to come upon this world. So the message of the gospel is most urgent. Do you realize your situation, friend? Do you realize the seriousness of the position in which you stand before an almighty God? This man, Belshazzar, a great king, again, king of one of the greatest kingdoms this world has ever seen in history, he crowned his arrogance at this moment and did all these things. And then he saw the fingers of a man's hand writing upon the wall of his palace with some very serious words. And all the wise men in this kingdom, the most eminent men, could not understand these words. They could not even read them. They weren't able, even if they could read them, to interpret to the king what these words meant. And they were a message from God. And so thankfully, someone in this kingdom, if you read through the story, remembered that there was a man called Daniel who had faded into somewhat insignificance at this point, even though he'd had a great history with other kings in his kingdom. They remembered that he could interpret to people their dreams. He could interpret to people the words of God to bear upon the situation currently speaking. So they call in Daniel. And what did Daniel say? He has quite a lot to say. But he condemns the king, one of the most powerful kings in the whole world, whose words, if the king disliked you, you would be put to death. Or you'd be elevated, depending on how the king felt about you. There was no reference to rule of law. It was the king's word was law in this kingdom. And Daniel has some very serious words to say to this most arrogant of kings. He speaks about this king's father and what his experiences were before God. This king's grandfather, I think it was, although Daniel says father, had experienced God's intervention in his life and knew something about the Almighty God and had testified to God in the previous chapter of Daniel's book, the book Daniel in this Bible. But the words from Daniel was, "And thou, Belshazzar, his son, hast not humbled thy heart, although thou knewest all this." That's a question for each one of us. Have we humbled our hearts, knowing all these things? Maybe you've heard the gospel many times before. Maybe you know what it is to be a Christian. Maybe you know something about the message of the gospel. But have you humbled your heart before God and accepted his son as the only way of salvation before you? Daniel's word is very serious. You've lifted up yourself against the Lord of the heavens. You've brought the vessels of his house before thee, and so on. You've praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. These words that were written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. God hath numbered thy kingdom, and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided. This man's identity, his life was in his kingdom as king, and that was about to be taken from him, so he would have nothing in this world. No kingdom, no king. And he was about to have his life taken from him too, friend. None of us knows how long our lives will last in this world. It's an unknown. You have this judgment. You were told that your kingdom was about to be divided. Your life, everything you had, was about to be divided from you. What would you do? To whom would you turn? This king did not know who to turn to. And it ends very sadly. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He died that night. In the history of this world, the Medes and the Persians had surrounded his capital city, and he thought he was impregnable. He built such a powerful fortress. He was totally confident in the power of his city and his walls to keep out the enemies, that he was having a feast. And yet they found a way in through a riverbed, a dried up riverbed. They dammed up the river, came in through the river, and overtook his kingdom in one night. One night. The most impregnable fortress this world has seen at that time. And it was overcome. So is your life, friend, away from God. Death will overcome you. And that was the vision of the man Belshazzar, and ended in death and destruction. The vision of the other man that I read of, Daniel. Completely different personality, Daniel. He knew something about God. He had a living relationship with God. And you have something in the words here about his situation, that he was exiled on an island called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. So he knew God. He knew Jesus. And in fact, if you read on, you find that he had a great vision. And I think the way it is presented, and possibly is in Scripture, is that out of this vision, I think he was then inspired to write his gospel message, John's gospel, in the Bible, about how, and the central theme of John's gospel is the deity of the person of the Lord Jesus, that his Saviour, Jesus Christ, come in flesh, God's Son, was nonetheless God himself, and he was also John's Saviour. Now, the same person in this vision of John is also my Saviour. But you look at the effect this vision has upon him. He didn't just see the fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall. He had the full vision of the person whom he was speaking to. And it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not." John had a relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ, his Saviour. And therefore, when he saw a vision of God, it wasn't an unknown person. It was a known person. He saw the face of this person, but he fell at his feet as dead because he was a sinful man. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus said, "Rise up." And the reason for that was that the Lord Jesus, it says here, the words of the Lord are, he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages." That's a reference to the fact that the Lord Jesus had died for John. He's died for me. And he's died for many others. Has he died for you? Do you believe in Jesus? Is he your Saviour? Because when John saw his Saviour, although he fell at his feet as dead, his Saviour put his hand on him, his right hand even, and raised him up because he loved him. Now, funny thing, the Lord Jesus loves you too. You might be far from him. You might be away from him. But Jesus loves you, and he wants you to come to him in faith, to turn from yourself, your own ways, not to be like Belshazzar, unknowing and ignorant and arrogant in your own heart. But he wants you to turn to him in repentance, to acknowledge your need, that he might be able to raise you up out of your sins and saying, "I have died for you. I have shed my precious blood for you. I can wash you from your sins in my blood." That's what Jesus can do for you. The person whom John knew says here, the words of Jesus, "I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages." The last men in this world, mankind, saw of Jesus was at a cross at Calvary, just outside Jerusalem. And they were killing him, executing him as a sinner. Now, my Saviour was not a sinner. My Saviour was the only person that lived in this world that was never a sinner, who was always perfect before God. And yet men hated him and executed him. And he did. He died. But it turns out that death could not hold my Saviour. Its power was broken. When Jesus entered into death, he broke its power. So when he speaks here, he says, "I have the keys of death and of Hades." And one day he will use those keys to unlock everyone that has death's grip on them. There will be a first resurrection and a second resurrection. The first resurrection to glory with Jesus. He will come for you. His shout will penetrate the graves here. And the souls that died in Christ, in the Lord Jesus, will rise to be with him forever. He says here, "I am living to the ages of ages, never more to die again." But there's a second resurrection, friend. A second resurrection too. The final resurrection, if you like. Most serious, because it's a resurrection to judgment. And after judgment, everlasting death, everlasting destruction. Everyone that is raised to judgment will find the same experience as Belshazzar, that they've been measured, weighed, and divided. Their life will be taken from them forever, removed, divided from the presence of God forever. It's just a terrible thought, but the desire of God in the gospel preaching is not that any one of us should remain in death, remain in judgment or eternal destruction forever. The desire of God is that he has sent his son, Jesus, already approximately 2,000 years ago into this world. And he has died for our sins and been raised again to the glory of God. And Jesus now lives in heaven at the right hand of the Father on high, my Saviour. And I trust the Saviour of many, if not all, in this room. And that one day his shout will penetrate, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we, the living who remain, will be taken to be with him forever. That's my hope, the hope of those who believe in Jesus. We will be raised up like John. He fell at his feet as dead. He knew his position. He felt his sinfulness, the fact that sin that Adam and Eve caused to fall upon this world and the curse. He felt that, but in the power of Jesus, he was lifted up and raised up, and one day will be in the presence of Jesus too, face to face, like I hope to be when Jesus comes. There's a picture of these two men that both had a vision from God. The first man, arrogant and confident in his own abilities and strength and power and glory. And he fell completely in one day, one night. Everything was taken away from him in the judgment of God. He dishonored God. And the other man, honoring to God, willing to accept many difficulties of life, being exiled because of the name of Jesus. And he had a vision too from God. And it caused him to fall down. But he was lifted up because of the power of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one whom he saw in that vision and who had a message, and you can read the rest of Revelation. And you can also read John's Gospel about the love of God that touched John's heart, that he contemplated as an old man and was able to write these things, having lived a life of knowledge of God, having had a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. And the question is, which one of these two men are you like? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Do you have that knowledge of him? Do you have a living link with the Almighty God? Or are you like Belshazzar, who is rich, powerful, had every known privilege known to man at that time, and yet one night everything was taken from him? Or are you like John, where the things that he had couldn't be taken from him because they were eternal? The life eternal that Jesus gives. Speaks at the end of Revelation, the very last page of Revelation. Come, and let him that is athirst come, and he that will, let him take the water of life freely. John's Gospel speaks a bit more about that water of life. It's there, freely available for you to take for yourself, to know something of the Lord Jesus, to not be as Belshazzar, who lost everything, but to be as John, who outwardly in this world had nothing, but yet had everything in Jesus Christ, his Savior. May you also find Jesus as your Savior too. Find the love of God in the work of Jesus. Find that Jesus can wash you from your sins. A bit earlier on in John's the Revelation, John has said, to him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen. It was a witness to the one in whom he trusted and believed, Jesus Christ, his Savior. He'd known Jesus. He'd walked with him here on this earth, seen his public ministry for those 3.5 years. He believed in him, had absolute faith in him. May you also put your faith and trust in Jesus for now, but also for all eternity, that you might be saved out of this world, out of the coming judgment, and to the glory of God with a hope of life eternal, a hope in heaven where Jesus is now, where Jesus spoke to John from. May God bless the word for his name's sake.